Lindsay, my ever keen listener of Real Side Dreams' sister, entered the living room, and she wasn't very amused. I had laid a trap in the very doorway she had entered. Nothing especially malicious, nothing to warrant incarceration over, but a trap nonetheless. A little juvenile mayhap, but I had perched a rubber spider above the doorframe, that when the door be opened, down would descend the rubber arachnid, with its oversized cartoon boggled-eyed expression, and dangle and bounce about on an elastic web. It had made Lindsay jump a little, and this was the explanation for her distinct lack of amusement. She demanded the reason for my nonsense, and I would explain how I was inventively setting the theme for the evening's dream recounting. Evidently, the first dream would be boasting spiders, and I wanted to prepare Lindsay for the recounting, acclimatize her for it, psychologically settle her in, as it were, knowing that spiders didn't feature amongst the list of creatures she held in high regard. A little shock incorporating a spider, and the dream to follow would be less shudder-inducing, and, to be fair, the rubber spider was of such a ludicrous design, it wouldn't have even put the frights up the smallest single-celled organism. Peter, my father, was again missing in action, in fact on a holiday, with Gwen, my mother, and older brother, and thus it was but I and my sister in the house this evening, and so my dream recounting would commence. I had to wait patiently until Lindsay had ceased battering me around the head with the rubber spider, and with that out of her system, now I would begin. And here I find myself in a dense jungle. An undeniable sense of malice pervades the forestry air. I begin to explore my surroundings. I find great nests of webbing everywhere, and I have the sense not to touch these, for these surely must have been constructed by spiders of gargantuan proportions. And I begin to come across some of the web creators, and yes, they are indeed mighty spiders, or spider-like approximations, rather mutated and malformed. Even as I am watching, they are waylaying other individuals and subduing them. At this point, you would assume they would be eaten, or maybe bundled up in webbing for a snack at a later time. But the spiders seem to immobilize the individual to the ground beneath their hideous bulks, and proceed to merge with them. The victims seem to become one with the spiders, engulfed in their arachnid bodies, until quite the mess remains. The spiders seem the most contented with the outcome at this point. I wander further into the jungle and find a dilapidated house. I take refuge within, as it seems I have drawn the attention of the spiders. Only now they seem to be in the form of oversized dogs, and I have quite the struggle keeping them out. Much like the spiders, I know not to let them make physical contact, as the impressions I have are that they will do just as the spiders did, a curious merging, and not for my benefit either. I successfully keep them at bay, then the dream ends. So I would say I am in some unsavory area in the lower astral. It's interesting how spiders feature here. Firstly, I have many real-side encounters with spiders, or spider-like creatures, and all of them are rather aggressive, and seem to want to attack me. Lindsay felt I deserved it, in light of my pranks earlier, and rather hoped the next dream wouldn't be about a dinosaur. A rubber spider bouncing off the head was one thing. Assuring her that no dinosaurs were involved, or were about to spring out of a box of biscuits when Lindsay opened one, I proceeded to explain how even on the physical level, when I am in my, what I may call, in-between state, between sleep and wakefulness, where I encounter phenomena, I will often see curious spiders floating around my room and generally in my direction, and if I snap into full waking on the physical, they are gone, but probably still there. Just my focus is now returned to the physical only, and they are beyond the range of my physical senses. At times like this, Lindsay wished I were beyond the range of her physical senses also. She was still grumbling over my rubber spider. Honestly, was the cell phone technology robbing people of senses of humour or so? The webbing would suggest tap linings, as snares and anything that bind tend to demonstrate this. So suggesting that the webbing I found in this astral area were tap lines, as a lot of the tap line insertion goes on the astral level. This would be then tap lines of an emotional variety, as most people are emotionally indulgent, or made to become emotional due to daft rubber spiders, Lindsay would proclaim. I constructed a little white flag made from a straw and a piece of kitchen paper towel, and had my spider waving it. Continuing on, I had impressions that what was taking place here was something to do with the usurping of human vehicles. As we know, entities tend to like to displace an individual from its vehicle and effectively steal it, and causing said individual to be pushed out and have to go on to their next position. There was a researcher, I forget his name, who was investigating the Morgellons disease and the black goo, and he had visual psychics who could perceive how all of that was linked to curious spider-like creatures who make a connection with the human hosts through the black goo and seek to use the body vehicles much like a parasite. And if we dip into the other areas of alternative research, some of the creational phenomena mentioned seems to have a spider or crab-like theme, so perhaps I had stumbled across these spider creatures, or a version of them, and it seems they are maybe attacking individuals on the astral level. The webbing suggests that some agreement or emotional attachment may allow these spiders to latch onto their victims. I had the impression that some of the subliminals in the very television programs we are programmed by have elements of this nature that cause a tap line of this emotional type. Lindsay was adamant that she wasn't about to miss her favourite shows because of a few foolish spiders lurking in the astral. Seems she hadn't grasped the full implications of this situation. The spiders may simply be draining energy then, much like the reptilians do through these tap lines. And what I saw then on the real side is the actuality of this interaction. Interrupted again by Lindsay's suggestion that this could serve as a great diet plan. If the spiders seemed quite content to drain off excess energy, I don't exactly think that is what they are doing. They certainly are not affording the human race anything of a benefit, and are not working on behalf of Weight Watchers. And it goes slightly beyond that. An emotional connection and a tap line, yes, but a merging too. The spider creatures able to hijack the astral level vehicle of the individual, almost like a parasite. It's quite possible this is a more effective means of energy draining than the tap line alone, or even maybe these spiders are perhaps entities of a kind, that they are laying claim to individuals' vehicles and seeking to steal them through latching onto them on the astral. Seems that spiders weren't the only form these individuals take, as there were large dogs also. On a final note, Once I went on one of my out-of-body excursions, and I came across a planet of the spider people. They were half-human, half-spider, spider legs, and human torsos, if you can but picture this. They were friendly enough at first, but warned me that should I remain beyond nightfall, they become aggressive, unable to stop themselves from attacking anyone not of their kind. Naturally, I lingered, wanting to see this for myself, and attack they did, in a frenzied mob. Something grabbed me from behind, and I was whisked at tremendous speeds from this predicament by a force unseen and unknown, and back to my physical body I returned. This was before I came across the new presentation, when I was much into my out-of-body and astral adventures. But even then, it seems someone was keeping an eye on my activities and came to the rescue when I was quite possibly in peril. Who knows? Maybe I may have been severed from my physical vehicle and be floating about the astral in confusion to this very day, had it not been for this timely intervention. It's very possible it was a universal guide who realized I was about ready for the opportunity to become more aware and was watching over me, as I was rather reckless in my explorations with my astral projections, and back then knew nothing of the real knowledge of the ears. But anyway, seems spider-like beings are to be found throughout creation too, with various attitudes, collective, constructed consciousnesses, and agendas. A further impression occurred when I was in the jungle with all the webbing. I had the notion of this being literally a worldwide web, and with all this spider stuff, tap lines, and dodgy activities, it's curious the naming of the internet as the web or World Wide Web. It has been suggested the naming is no accident, as it is effectively storing everything anyone ever has posted, netting it all, and also the addictive qualities of such technology, drawing people in, causing alterations to the biochemistry of the brain, that they become addicted to it. So definitely emotional attachments and tap lines there resultingly. A World Wide Web is a very appropriate term, the attachment to it causing restriction and resulting in cause and effect future lifetimes. Maybe the subliminals that allow the tap line to the spider beasts is somehow related to the internet. Maybe it's not so much through the television after all, and the term World Wide Web is not just referring to a restriction. So it seems not only the television provided a spider-related energy draining scenario, but the internet did too. How was Lindsay supposed to catch the latest episode of EastEnders? On pondering the possibility of watching her shows while sitting in the confines of a bug-resistant mosquito-type net, it was apparent that she hadn't quite understood the particulars of how the astral level was involved, and not just the physical. But if it would make her feel better, I rummaged in the cupboards and secured an old net curtain. I would inquire of Lindsay if she liked to fly in her dreams. Seems she hadn't given it much consideration, and in her dreams she was more apt to traverse the landscapes and dream arenas by the standard method of walking. She pointed out that if most people have a tendency then to take to the skies in their dreams, all the more space on the ground for her. Not that most people may soar like birds in their dream worlds, so probably an equal balance of ground walkers and sky flyers. Maybe also people between the two options, those trying to fly and landing on their faces, or those trying to walk and finding themselves elevated as situations dictate. Lindsay drummed her fingers on the table as I went on one of my musings about all and everything related to flying on the real side. But there was a reason for my opening enquiry, because in my next dream experience, the opening scene would indeed include flying. In fact, the full spectrum of the various degrees of flying acumen, from flying with great ease to floundering to effectively being grounded without the falling flat on my face part, even though Lindsay proclaimed how she would like to have seen the latter option. So in this dream, I would find myself on the earth, and I decided to take to the skies, a little flying to alleviate the boredoms of the planet and get above things. I flew here and there, all around the globe, was quite the sightseeing excursion from my elevated position. After a time, I would come to land in my very street. Night had fallen, and the sense of something brewing in the air. Then lights began to manifest in the skies above. As I watched, they would become larger, and now I was witness to quite the display, as all of these spacecraft of various size, shape, and color flitted about. Reactivating my flying ability, I thought I would join the spacecraft in the skies, but was rather dismayed as how my flying skill seemed to be diminishing by the moment. At first, unable to reach the speeds of earlier, then unable to achieve the height either, until I was effectively grounded. In addition to this, the spacecrafts were dropping little packages. They would float down, and on landing and inspection, turned out to be an assortment of cakes, donuts, and things of this nature. I ate a selection. They were most gratifying. Then the street took on a Christmas theme, exacted by the spacecrafts. Christmas trees and decorations abounded. Then I awoke. The UFOs in my street are quite a common dream of mine, although I hadn't had one for a while. Lindsay went into a diatribe about aliens and their intrusive probes. Apparently, she had done a little homework on the subject, but it transpired that the source of her alien probes in unmentionable places information had been South Park. After I affirmed that no probes were involved, I would describe the spacecraft as also being of a similar type as in the previous dreams. The difference being the addition of a Christmas theme and little cake offerings. And no, Santa Claus wasn't using a new updated mode of transport, discarding his sleigh for a spacecraft. Lindsay frowned. She rather liked the possibility of the festive season receiving a technological update, and suggested the aliens didn't like their rather boring cake presents this year, and were discarding them from their spaceships. When her suggestions had abated, I would elucidate that as my awareness has expanded since I've had this particular dream, I can see more. Or perhaps the guides are willing to show me more. Maybe the whole earning my way and awareness is unveiling greater facets and depths of awareness-enhancing demonstrations and experiences. What with everything equaling itself, the ears sharing in equal measure to the extent by which I share and stand real with it. At first I would have considered this to be another indication of things to come, along the lines of the big surprise Dwayne makes mention of, and adding to the many other alien and UFO-related dreams I and many others are having, indication of some negotiated alien intervention with what's happening to this planet. Lindsay didn't understand how dropping cakes and erecting Christmas trees could provide a benefit and assist humanity in their plight. But then to look at these details of the dream might suggest this is in fact something slightly different. The alien intervention for the benefit of the human race still in the pipeline, but the possibility also of some deception that may run in conjunction with this by the hands of the evil controllers. Lindsay felt that dropping cakes on people surely was the ultimate indication of evil. A detectable element of sarcasm pervaded the dream recounting filled air. I'm sure we've all heard of Project Bluebeam. Lindsay shook her head. Clearly she had not. And before any sardonic remark could be uttered, I swiftly explained. It is where an Orwellian world could be brought to bear in the event of a faked alien invasion. The lockdown of everyone into a far more controlled state for our supposed benefit to meet the perceived threat of the aliens. However, it is believed this so-called invasion would be orchestrated using holograms, or maybe even government craft made to look very alien indeed. It's very likely the controllers are aware of this possible beneficial alien intervention, and so their faked blue beam plan might serve a dual purpose. If only the aware people will be able to recognize this benign intervention, they may well be hoodwinked and misdirected by a simultaneously executed fake alien intervention, or perhaps it will arrive prior to the genuine one. Either way, confusion is possible, unless being in a state of awareness will allow discernment between the two events. Depending on an individual's degree of awareness, I imagine, and so some people on their awareness process could well be misled. For in my dream, I was flying, so I was in a state of awareness beyond the creational levels and afforded a more expanded viewpoint, and yet the presence of the UFOs grounded me effectively. Lindsay suggested I posed a flight risk, so perhaps my being grounded was a good all-around solution. You can't have the skies filled with the spacecraft and flying people, as this was a situation that may not end especially well. But in fact, the grounding was suggesting that they did not represent something that was awareness beneficial, but quite the opposite. That they, in fact, were a restriction of a kind, potentially a faked alien force masquerading as benefactors. With their intent and agenda being then in alignment with the controllers, to agree with them would have us restricted and taplined, indicated by my sudden inability to fly. I was taplined and restricted back to the lower creational life levels, losing my wings through agreement to ideas stemming from them. Lindsay stated how I had no business flying anyway. I wasn't born with wings, but with legs, and that physiological reality was surely a subtle clue as to how I ought go about my world traversing business. But this was the real side, and not the physical, with its physical agreed upon limitations. So all bets and travelling restrictions were off. The added elements of Christmas and cakes also further suggest this scenario, Christmas being religious, and all religions being the controlling creations of the reptilians, agreement to such things having the same constricting and position limiting effect. Lindsay rolled her eyes. Not the reptilians again. They seem to be involved in everything. Isn't there something somewhere that they didn't have their scaly hands all over? In regards to our planet, pretty much not. They were here, there, and everywhere in between, and may very well be your delightful neighbour next door. Lindsay could quite well believe that, considering her neighbours, and back then to the cakes, stimulation of the emotional body, sensation overstimulating flavour-enhanced confectionery, as most foodstuffs of this nature were. So it would suggest quite possibly that yes, we ought to be a little suspicious of alien interventions, if indeed the controllers are getting ready to launch one of their own, to net as many of the new friends as they can. For as Dwayne was saying, there is that big surprise coming, but only for those who can recognize it and thus be a part of it. Theoretically, if we stand in our real awareness, we ought to be able to discern the fake aliens from the genuine, but we must be cautious to not get overwrought and excitable when the spacecraft turn up, as this will have us move into our personal selves and be unable to determine the authenticity of the aliens and their spacecraft. Lindsay reminded me of that movie, Independence Day, how all the people welcomed the aliens with signs on the roofs and received less than an agreeable response. Being blasted with blue fire fit the category of disagreeable, it had to be said. But yes, the world controllers can see what Dwayne is doing and setting up on the real side. Not all of it, but certain things. They then take this information for their advantage, but we can do the same. They invented the internet to capture people and subliminally control them, but the new people and new friends use this distorted technology for a benefit to share and present the ears. Everything has two sides, and it's learning to see what's taking place, and for the aware, they will be shown how to supersede technology altogether, because all technology And even the shows that Lindsay simply couldn't miss from the TV is a mistake. The world does operate on technology, so the plug can't just be pulled. Re-education is the key for those paying attention, but with the personal self being there, it can muddy the waters. So yes, the dark forces take anything beneficial and twist it, associate it with physical astral binding ideas and attachments, to the extent that things become a redundant reference, such as how they took the original reference is and presented the world with ices, and thus the ears had to be re-referenced with more I's and more S's, so it was a clean and pure reference for the true reality once again. This is creation. This is how it is. It is for the risk taker, but most people want to pretend it's not there, and that others will save the day and deal with it. But as we reveal this to the world, people have the choice to take a look at it or not, and if they don't, it gets worse. Just like a disregarded infection. Every moment we must step up and face it. We are all in the same life and in creation. To figure this out is huge. And for everything we do see, there's always a lot more that we don't. It's a huge journey. And we must have perseverance. It could take 1,000 years. Lindsay waved her hands dismissively as I mentioned this 1,000 years statement again, pointing out that my hair already was greying at the age of 41. What would I be by the time I was 400 or 600, a brain in a jar? Well, regardless, at the very least, I'd be featured in the Guinness Book of Records, or Ripley's Believe It or Not, my few moments of fame, and all that nonsense. As long as someone was on hand to polish and wipe the dust from my brain jar, Lindsay pointed out that a brain wouldn't have the eyeballs and thus the physical senses that required a wiping of the brain jar to afford sight beyond it. True. But who wanted a dusty jar? I would recount one final dream, and this would be a validation of not only the existence of nanobots, but the purpose they serve, and indeed how they are intended to serve as a further control mechanism for the ever-bombarded human race. Lindsay didn't see how something so small could be so impacting unless all the little nanobots joined together to make one big giant bot and go around stamping on people. But the best form of control and manipulation was what you couldn't see, like invisible prison bars, as the easiest way to maintain slaves was to have them believe they were free. and a giant nanobot monster marauding across the world and stamping on people might raise a few eyebrows and questions, and quite possibly, perchance, hint that things were not quite as cozy and safe as they seemed to be. This dream began in a house. I was with a friend of mine from years ago that I no longer am in contact with. The house belonged to that of still another friend that I see on the odd rare occasion. However, the house owner seemed to not be present, and so there was I and this other old friend. We were not alone. What was taking up residence in the house was a rather large spider, and like all spiders on the real side, it seemed not especially friendly. It had also blanketed the house interior with webbings. It was rather difficult to avoid the stuff. We would remain in the house for a few moments amongst the silky strands of web, but we did tentatively steer the spider into an adjacent room and seal it inside, not wanting it directly in our vicinity. Seems this was an unwise course of action. The door reverberated, bulged and trembled, as though something of immense volume was pressing against it from the other side. The door did burst open, and a sea of small bugs spilled from it. They directed their bug attentions on us, and scuttled toward us with menace of numbers. We fled the house and ran down the street, but alas, the bugs were rather swift, and it was evident we wouldn't get far. Resigned to my fate, I would stop, and the bugs swarmed over me. My friend was ahead, a swifter runner than I, but I imagine he didn't make it much further. I half expected to be eaten, or stripped of my flesh, or something equally as macabre. But if the real side experiences have taught me anything, it is this. Never assume. I was suddenly in an automatic, objective view, standing as though outside of my body, observing from a position beyond it. It was from here that I would regard the next scene. My vehicle was not destroyed. It seemed to have been possessed, taken over by an unknown force, the cause of which stemming from the bug interaction. I had absolutely no control of it, and I floated about in my detached awareness back to the house where this all began. The house who it belonged to had returned, and he was amongst others who were just as controlled. They opened a closet, and within was what can only be described as versions of them, myself, my other friend, and other individuals, hanging like overcoats, screaming in fear and agitation. The controlled, vehicled people sealed the closet, quite content, it would seem, with the situation. Then the final scene. I was in some kind of new world. It had similarities to Earth. I was still in my detached awareness state and looking at my body vehicle that seemed to be here. Seemingly making a connection with it, I sparked it out of its personal self only and had the impression I had installed its want to become more aware. I had a flash of many years of time in this place, and how this personal self here would go about seeking answers, unveiling the secrets of the world it now found itself in, and ultimately recognize the real intent and go about the process of becoming more aware. Lindsay asked if I'd neglected to mention a part of the dream. Where were the nanobots I had mentioned earlier? Seemed the dream was filled again with spiders and creepy crawlies only. So again, yes, there is this spider theme that runs through many of my real side dreams of late. In the initial dream, I had put forward the possibility of these spiders as astral entities of a kind, hijacking human vehicles. So perhaps this is along the same lines as we would find a spider nestled in the house of a friend. Lindsay knew this old friend of which I spoke, and a spider would feel right at home there. There was probably more wildlife and critters in that house than any jungle. The house represented his personal created consciousness on the real side, but with a resident spider, so suggesting his vehicle was hijacked, or at least being parasitized, energy usurped by this creature. With all the webbing indicating extreme levels of taplining, as this individual has no interest beyond the personal self, he will be extremely taplined, but a few more added on top via an agreement with this strange spider creature. On the other dream, I had suggested the agreement is secured subliminally through the internet. The spider creatures using this technology as a medium for this purpose, maybe the hint being the naming of it as the World Wide Web. The fact the house was vacant suggests the vehicle stealing is complete. The individual whose vehicle it was has now passed on, and the door open was an invitation and quite possibly a trap. Maybe the spider creatures can latch onto others through presumed friendship. An infection spread by trust. For with trust and emotional attachment, there are tap lines. But instead of a tap line to a friend, it is now to the entity spider who has claimed the vehicle, unbeknownst to us. And what if we have a kind of collective, a spider entity collective, Maybe being tap-blind by one can open the way for all others to connect with you too, and easing the means by which one can latch onto a person, the spider creatures doing their body snatching, and maybe a glimpse at the nanos and how they may be operating. Lindsay was waiting for the nano part, getting rather impatient with the spiders and their body snatching, but she certainly would be wary if she encountered this old friend of mine on the physical level. Maybe she'd run over him with her car and see if a spider springs out. Every body vehicle is full of nanoparticles, even those run over by cars. Up until now, they seemed to be doing very little, as far as we know. But it is believed that when 5G activates, so will the nanos, as has been demonstrated in labs. Lindsay wanted to know how dogs had demonstrated the existence of nanos. I was perplexed momentarily before realizing she had misconstrued my term lab as meaning Labradors. I'm not sure if she was being funny, as her face suggested innocence and sincerity of query at this moment, so I dispelled her concerns that Labrador dogs were in any way involved, and it was laboratories that I was meaning. The higher the frequency they are bombarded with, the more the nanos become active, and to the extent that they are crawling all over the lab. And no, they were not forming the human stamping nano monster. In answer to Lindsay's fairly predictable question, so maybe we displaced the spider entity. We put it in a different room. We couldn't get it out of the house. So who knows? Maybe we placed the stolen vehicle in a coma. At least it can't forge friendships and place tap lines. Maybe we locked the entirety of it in the subconscious of the vehicle, but we hadn't considered the nanos that were present, and in this dream they were represented by the little bugs. Seems the nano bugs then are revealing exactly what they are designed for, and perhaps corroborate the theories that not only do the nanos become activated with 5G, but they take over the body vehicle and automatically robotize it. The robot world that has been proposed as a result of a cause and effect limiting mass scale decisions becoming a reality, and perhaps far sooner than we imagined. A little like something out of the Star Trek's Borg, where not only are they nano-infused and cyborgs themselves, but they have the ability to infect others. This demonstrated in the little bugs chasing us from the house, and then effectively robotizing our body vehicles. As the moment they did swarm over me, I had a sense of greater constriction and control, and it is at this point I stepped into my awareness. Those lacking awareness were trapped in these more constricted vehicles, and there we see them, hanging in the closet, in morbid fear and abject terror. The fear that effectively keeps people constricted, agreeing to the controllers who are setting the demise and robotization of this world into motion. Not daring to take the risk to see and be more. I was there too, in the closet, or my personal created self at any rate, locked in my body vehicle. But unlike the others, I had the awareness to move my view to my real self and be then beyond the locked down vehicle. The final part may well confirm another proposed theory. After robotization caused by the 5G activated nanos, everyone will potentially be locked in a virtual reality in their robotized heads. So, a virtual reality within the simulator we already are in. And here we see how, despite having knowledge of the is-now, we may not necessarily have it in future lifetimes if we decide to return, for we may well return into a robotic world, but it may not seem robotic. It may well be a virtual world within a robotized physical life level simulation, so in essence, twice removed from the real universes of the true reality. I would suggest then, much harder to re-establish this is connection, particularly if there is no new presentation in operation, but not impossible, as in this dream, the real me was able to get the attention of my constricted personal self and initiate its search once again for the all is. It was a little like the Matrix then, people trapped in a virtual world that is all robotized, and it's interesting how they are releasing another Matrix movie, The Matrix Part 4, and so that may well be very timely in light of this dream and what's happening with all this nano and 5G stuff. The final confirmation, perhaps, of the scenario described here. Lindsay was frantic then, looking very serious in her motivations and actions. Can it be that she had taken on board the warnings of impending robotization and virtual reality inducing nanos? Her cell phone was unleashed, and perhaps she was preparing to warn the world. In fact, she was determining when the Matrix 4 movie was coming out, as she was quite the fan of the first three, and delighted was she that Keanu Reeves would be starring in it yet again. The entire dream did afford various viewpoints, And despite all the devious and sinister activities befalling the human race, the bigger picture was to recognize the ease through comparative analysis that the viewpoints afforded. People without awareness and the objective viewpoint possibility will lean toward their personal self, and the reaction then is fear, worry, uncertainty, and maybe a prayer or two to the reptilian Callum God, who is more likely to laugh and eat reptilian popcorn than assist. People have their routines that they have accepted, adopted, been taught, indoctrinated, and programmed with, which keep them trapped and encumbered. It's quite the journey to get past all this stuff. Spiders here, nanos there, annoying sisters all over the place. The last example went down like a balloon made of the proverbial lead. But all those on their process had awareness to bring this information through and bear witness to what Dwayne is presenting, to afford it extra weight and validation that others take more notice and wish then to see for themselves. Going back to the previous dream where Lindsay suggested I might wind up as a brain in a jar if I intended to live 1,000 years was maybe not such a bad thing. As far as she was concerned, a brain would lack a mouth by which to utter forth cheeky statements. Well, who knew how things would unfold? It was all based on created ideas, agreement to them, and then the experience collectively shared by those agreeing. Hopefully then, the human race wouldn't agree to the notion that the only way an individual can make it to the 1,000-year benchmark would be to adopt a suitable jar for housing just the brain. But then there would be less space for nanobots to inhabit the vehicle. If it consisted of just a brain, Lindsay remarked, as I closed my dream journal, particularly my brain, as there would be barely enough room inside for a single nanochip, let alone a nanobot.